It's gonna get better.
You are going to get better.
One day at a time.
One moment at a time.
Be encouraged.
With God's help and a little bit of grace, don't give up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Grace Online. We are so excited that you're decided to spend some time with us here this weekend. And of course, we can't wait to see you again, to come to this worship center. We can't wait to see your face, hug your neck, and just get a chance to see you in person. And so we just want to give a shout out to all of you who are choosing to join with us online and being regularly here with us in this temporary, everybody say it again, temporary season of everything being online. And of course, we continue to pray for you. We continue to pray for your family. We continue to pray for our city, for our country, and for the world. Matter of fact, we encourage you to join us every Tuesday night at 6:45 p.m. as we pray together. And of course, that is online as well. So thanks for joining us. And if you have a Bible, I want you to go to the book of Hebrews, is where we're going to start here today. And the book of Hebrews is in the New Testament. You go to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, go left a few books, and you're going to find the book of Hebrews. We'll get to that here in a minute. But before we do, one of the things that has been part of my life these last few weeks is lots and lots of Zoom calls. I've been on calls with pastors from all around the country, with leaders. And one particular call that I'm having every week has a guest from the government who is speaking to some pastors around the country. This past week, the speaker was a rear admiral that has been on the National Security Council for the last four presidents. And this guy happens to be a member of an Assemblies of God church in Washington, D.C., and a small group leader. And I thought it was fascinating some of the things that he said. First of all, he said that there are a lot of Christians in the White House, and there is prayer happening often there, so thank God for that. He also said that he's served four different administrations, and that in his opinion, that the federal government is more organized than ever. Of course, that's not an endorsement of any political party, but it's good to know that there's some organization, because we don't always hear that in the news. He also said that when it comes to this crisis, remember that this is a marathon and it's not a sprint. And so this is going to take some time. And so that was an encouragement. But one of the things he said that stuck out to me the most, he said the question that he gets asked most often, and it's the question that we ask most often, is when are things going to get back to normal? When are things going to get better? And he said, think about it like the knob on your stereo in your car. He goes, you turn it notch by notch and it gets better. And he goes, that's how it's going to be in our country. He goes, you know, notch by notch, it's going to get a little bit more normal. Day by day, week by week, month by month, things are going to get better. And that's good news, that because I believe that you're going to get better through all of this. I'm going to get better. Our relationships are going to get better. Our lives are going to get better through all of this. Now, notice I didn't say easier. I said better. And matter of fact, today we're starting a new series from the book of Hebrews, and the title of it is simply Better. And some of you are saying, well, Pastor, why would we study the book of Hebrews in a time like this? Well, first of all, when all of this crisis began, I was reading in the book of Hebrews in my own personal Bible study, and I was amazed each day as I read the word of how much of it applied to the current situation. And then as I dug into it, I realized that the word better occurs 13 times in the book of Hebrews. As a matter of fact, if there is a word that is a theme of the book of Hebrews, it's the word better. Now, a little background from the story, from the book of Hebrews, it's also known as a book of encouragement or a letter of encouragement. As a matter of fact, some people think that Barnabas wrote the book of Hebrews. Now, remember in the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas were a team, and Barnabas was known as the son of encouragement. That was his gift. And because this letter is so encouraging, a lot of people think that Barnabas wrote this book. But Hebrews is a letter that is written to some Jewish believers who are experiencing a good measure of difficulty in their own lives. And we'll pick it up in chapter 10, where it says some of the difficulty that they were facing is that they were being publicly exposed to insult. So think about social media, your name's being dragged through the mud. So they were just being insulted publicly, and they were being persecuted, and they were, the Bible says in verse 34 that they were suffering. So this letter is being written to people who are suffering. Some of them were in prison for their faith, and then their property was being confiscated. So there was very real discouragement that was going on. And matter of fact, some of the recipients of this letter were in very real danger. And some were so discouraged that they were considering leaving the faith. They were considering walking away from Jesus. And so this letter is written to them during a time when everything is shaken around them, when things are uncertain. And so to these people, he writes in verse 26 of chapter 12, he says once more, and he's quoting the Old Testament here, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. And he's saying here, he goes, yeah, there's shaking taking place. And by the way, shaking has always taken place. And not just globally or even nationally, but personally. We've all experienced a time in our lives of difficulty, of shaking, of trouble. And of course, where we're at right now, all of us are experiencing that in some way. And so one person summarized it this way in this verse, that it says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And I want you to notice that the purpose, according to this verse, is so that the things that are unshakable can remain. You know, I don't know if you've ever been on an elevator and all of a sudden the elevator started to shake for a second. What do? You reach out and you put your hand on the wall, try to brace yourself. You're looking for something secure. Maybe you've been on an airplane that has experienced some turbulence and it starts to shake. You know, every time I'm on an airplane with my wife and there's turbulence, she just reaches over and grabs hold of me. We're trying to grab on to something that's secure and that's safe. You see, when things around us begin to shake, our instinct is to grab onto something secure, to grab onto something strong and safe. You see, right now, I think some of you may feel like that your life is shaken, your finances, your family, perhaps your health, maybe even your mental health and your peace of mind. Some of you may be watching today and your faith might be shaken. And we want to grab onto something. We need to grab onto something that is secure. Funny story, last week here in Indiana, not only were we dealing with the COVID crisis, but it was some really nasty weather that came through the area. Some really high winds, and there was a tornado warning. And matter of fact, some of the tornadoes touched down and caused some property damage. Mine and Tracy's friend wrote this that night on Facebook. She said that 2020 is trying to kill us. And I know some of us feel that way, that there's something going on in this world that is just shaking us. And when that happens, we want to grab onto something. So let me pause just for a second and encourage you. Let's not grab onto things that aren't safe and not secure, like alcohol or painkillers or pornography. We may be tempted to grab onto those things for safety, but those aren't going to help us at all. Matter of fact, they're just going to make things much worse. I remember years ago when I was a little kid, it was the winter time and there was no school because of the weather. My brothers and I decided to go play on the frozen pond that was about a mile away from our house. It was in the woods. And so we're just skating around, sliding around, and all of a sudden my brothers get the great idea of breaking the ice and trying to whatever. And so bottom line is we all fell in the ice. And we were wearing these heavy coats and the water was cold and you're just panicking. And what happened was I would grab onto the edge of the ice to try to pull myself up, but the ice would just break off. And every time I grabbed it, would just break off. It wasn't strong enough to hold me up. You know, I think some of us may be like that right now during this crisis, that things are shaken. And we try to grab onto things for safety, but it's not holding us up. It's not able to pull us out. Maybe some of us are finding that money is not strong enough to hold us up. I heard someone say that the thing about COVID-19 is that it's the great equalizer because it affects everybody. It affects the poor, it affects the rich, it affects all of us. And we find out all too quickly that those things that we work for and all the money and everything and retirement, they can be gone in a heartbeat. If you build your life, you build your identity on things or money, you're going to find out real fast that it can disappear. And of course, some like to build their lives on followers. Some people just like to spend an enormous amount of time building up their followers on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook. And what we find during times of shaking, that is that it's not about the number of followers you have as much as it is the real friends you have. Because when the shaking comes, you need more than followers. You need some friends. Matter of fact, I think that's a great point for us to make, is that when this happens, when the shaking comes, you don't need followers, you need friends. You need somebody that you can call and say, "Can you pray for me?" You need somebody that will pray for you and encourage you and walk with you through the valley. So I think that's a good time for me to pause for a second and encourage everyone who is not yet part of a small group here at our church to make sure that you are, because no one should be alone during this crisis. At our church, we have lots of groups for people to be part of. And a matter of fact, if you're part of a group right now, typically, we're coming to the time where this semester is ending, but we're going to extend this semester until the end of May. So all of our groups are going to continue on through the end of May, but we're also starting brand new groups this week. So if you are not yet part of a group, let me encourage you to go to our website, graceassembly.org. There's a tab there that says groups, and you can sign up for a group. And of course, all of our groups are virtual. They're all Zoom groups. And so anybody can join and be part of those. So we encourage everybody to be part of a group. So back to the book of Hebrews. So the scripture says, what do I do when everything around me is shaking? Here's what the author says. He says, look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's saying, when the shaking comes, reach out and grab on to Jesus. Reach out and grab onto the anchor, Jesus Christ. And I love the word pictures that he creates. He says, Jesus is the author of our faith. So think about the author of a book. The author of a book creates these characters. And can I tell you that the characters that he creates is in the author's heart? See, the Bible says that God is writing our story. He's the author of our story, and we are in his heart. He's writing it, which means he's in control, and that's good news. But it also says he's the finisher of our faith, which means that he is writing the end of the story right now. And of course, we don't know what the end of the story looks like, But I think what this scripture is saying is that if we'll keep our eyes on Jesus, if we'll look to Jesus, then the author of our story will make sure that we finish well. You see, the author of Hebrews is encouraging those of us who are wavering or our faith is shaken, who are going through difficulty. He's saying, look to Jesus. Jesus is the anchor. Jesus is the strong foundation of your soul. Matter of fact, he says in chapter 6, verse 19, that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And he's referring to Jesus. And it goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In an uncertain world, this writer is saying Jesus is sure. Jesus is certain. Jesus is the same. You can count on Jesus. Many years ago, there was an 8-year-old girl from Chicago who painted this picture of Jesus. It's a fascinating picture. And what's amazing about this story is that this young girl painted it when she was 8 years old, which is a remarkable painting for such a young girl to do. And by the way, her parents were atheists when she painted this picture. But she had this vision of Jesus, and so she painted this picture. Now, why am I telling you this story? Well, because a little over a week ago, Tracy and I were watching a movie based on a true story about a 3-year-old boy who had an experience of heaven. It was written in a book and turned into a movie. And so as part of the story, it's in the movie, they show the 3-year-old boy this picture that this 8-year-old girl from Chicago painted. And the 3-year-old boy said, that's him. That's Jesus. That's who I saw in heaven. Now, I don't know what it was about that movie, and I don't know what it was about that picture, but I've been looking at this picture ever since. Matter of fact, so much so that I put it on my phone as my screensaver. So every time I pick up my phone, I'm looking at Jesus. And I don't know about you, but Jesus is one good-looking dude. He's got great hair. Look at those eyes. And of course, wouldn't he be the best-looking dude of all time? My wife has heard me talk about it so much, she says, you got a bromance with that picture. And I'm like, well, who better to have a bromance with than Jesus? And so I want to encourage you to look to Jesus. And how do we do that? What does that look like other than putting his picture on your phone? Well, let me break it down for you. I think there's a few ways that the writer of Hebrews gives us practical ways that we can look to Jesus during the time of shaking. And the first way is worship. When we worship God, what we're doing is we're changing our focus. One verse in Psalm says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. That's what we do when we worship. We magnify the Lord. And think about that. When I magnify something, I'm making it bigger. And when I magnify the Lord, all of a sudden he gets bigger than my problems. He gets bigger than my circumstances, than my shaking, than all of these things that are happening. And so when I worship, something happens. I invite the presence of God into a situation. How many times in the last few weeks have you been tempted to be fearful or afraid or even shaking? But then maybe you see that Facebook post from Pastor Steve and he's leading worship, or you play that song on Spotify and you begin to worship, something begins to change in the atmosphere. There's peace instead of chaos. There's confidence instead of fear. Why? Because when I worship God, I invite the presence of God into my situation. And of course, peace isn't the absence of trouble. Peace is simply the presence of God. So that means when I worship, I'm just inviting the presence of God into my home, into my life, into my family, and wherever I'm at. And of course, the Hebrew writer says, fix your thoughts on Jesus. So when I worship, I'm looking to Jesus to be the author and the finisher of our faith. So let me encourage you, especially during this season, less news, more worship. Less social media, more worship. Less of everything else, more worship. Focus on Jesus and you're gonna find that you're gonna find strength. You're gonna find security. You're gonna find safety. And I think another way that we look to Jesus the Hebrew writer says the word of God. And watch this. Verse 12 of chapter 4 says the word of God is alive. You see, this is more than just ink on some pages. The Bible says that this book is a living, breathing thing because the Bible is actually a person. There's a person in this book. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now get this. This Word is Jesus Christ. And the closer I get to this Word, the closer I get to Jesus. In our Freedom Group last week, we were learning about Jesus is the living Word. So when I read this book, the life of God is flowing into me. The grace of God, the kindness of God, the power of God is flowing into me. I want to encourage you that this is the most important time for all of us to make sure that regularly we are reading and studying God's Word. Now, if you don't have a plan right now to read the Bible, let me encourage you. What if you just took one chapter a day and you read it and then you prayed through it? And if you don't know where to start in the New Testament, start with the book of John and read one chapter a day and just read it and think about it and then pray through it. I think you're going to find that you're going to find safety, you're going to find security, you're going to find confidence. And of course, that leads me to the third way that we can look to Jesus during a time of shaking, and that is to pray. Now, when I say pray, what I'm talking about is understanding that prayer is a two-way conversation. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 4 that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Now, let me encourage you on how to pray, because some of you are like, well, Pastor, how do I know how to pray? Well, God's Word is also a prayer book. And one of the things that I've been much more intentional about doing this year, more than anything else, is I'll read a chapter of the Bible. First, I'll read it in one version, on YouVersion on my phone. And then I'll use my paper Bible to read the same chapter in another translation. But then I pray through that chapter. And so if it says, look to Jesus, I pray, Lord, help me look to Jesus. Whatever it says, I pray about that. And I've learned that all of a sudden this becomes a two-way conversation because God's Word is God's voice to me, and I pray God's Word back to Him, and all of a sudden it becomes powerful. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, Pastor, these are such foundational things. These are so simple. You're right. But I want you to think about the word foundation. Because when the shaking comes, when the storms come, what do you want to have? You want to have a strong foundation. Matter of fact, if there's a big idea to today's message, it's really this. If you want to get better, do the foundational things better. If you want to get better, do the foundational things better. Jesus talked about this in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. He's talking to his disciples and he says, whoever comes to me and hears and does what I say. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus is saying, it's not about those who believe in me. It's about those who actually do what I tell them, who are actually following me. I'm the Lord of their life. I'm obeying the word of God. He says, whoever comes to me and hears and does what I say, I will show you who he's like. He's like a man who built a house. He dug deep to put the building on a rock, the foundation. The foundation of the house is a rock. And he says, and when the water comes and the river beats against the house, he's talking about storms. He's talking about when the shaking comes. Watch this. The Bible says, the building could not be shaken because it was built on the rock. And of course, who is the rock? The rock is Jesus Christ. The foundation is Jesus Christ. You see, when the shaking comes to your life, we're gonna find out real quickly who our foundation is. And you know, if your life is actually built on what Jesus says, then I want to encourage you that no demon, no disease, no pandemic, no crisis is going to be able to shake you. Now watch this. It doesn't mean that the storm's not going to come. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to feel the wind blowing against you, because the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. None of us are shielded from trouble. But when the trouble does come, when the shaking does come, Jesus says, if you'll build your life on me, if you'll look to me, the author and the finisher of your faith, make me the foundation of your life, nothing will shake you. You know, I think this season is revealing that not all of us have built our life on Jesus. Now, you believe in Jesus and you know about Jesus, but your schedule, your priorities, your money, they all testify that your life is actually built on something else. And now the shaking has come, and you're starting to feel the wobbliness underneath you. You're starting to feel the crumble. I urge you during this time, make Jesus the foundation of your life. He's the only thing that matters. He's the only thing that will remain. If you're watching this today and things aren't right between you and the Lord, maybe you once served the Lord, but you're far from God. Maybe you believe in Jesus, but you're not following his directive. He's not Lord of your life. Then I want to invite you to surrender to him today, to look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of your faith. If that's you, would you bow your head? And matter of fact, if everybody, wherever you're watching this, would bow your head right now. If you'd like to make things right with God, if you're ready to surrender your heart and life to Jesus, pray this prayer with me. And I'm going to ask everybody to pray it out loud. And would you say, dear Jesus, thank you for the cross and for the resurrection. I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. From this day forward, I surrender my life to you. Holy Spirit, help me do everything Jesus says. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if this is you and you're saying, Pastor, I mean business with God, I'm serious about following the Lord, and I want to encourage you to take the next step and to I want you to text the word Jesus to this number, 317-653-6793. Now, if you'll take a minute and you'll text the word Jesus to this number, what you're going to do is we're just going to respond to you. We're going to pray for you. We'd like to send you some resources and some information in helping you learn what it is to be a follower of Jesus. So if that's you and you mean business with God, take a moment right now and text that word Jesus to 317-653-6793. Maybe you want to take a quick screenshot with your phone so that you can get that and do that at some point. Now, for everybody else, let me show you one more verse, and then we're going to pray. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 6, thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. So again, this whole shaking thing, it's not unusual. It happens. It's always going to happen until we get to heaven. But he says, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea also and the dry land. And he says, I'm going to shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations. And look at the result of the shaking. I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. That's our prayer. That's my prayer. I hope that's your prayer. That as a result of all of this shaking, you know what's going to happen? God's going to fill this house I'm standing in with glory. And when we come back together, it'll be unlike anything we've ever seen. But you know what? The church is not a building. The church is you and me. I'm God's house. You are God's house. He's going to fill your house with glory as you look to him, as you look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Because the devil may be doing his best to try to rob and kill and steal from us. But can I tell you that during this shaking time, God is drawing us to himself. You know why? Because he wants to fill you with glory. And he wants to fill you with his presence. He wants to fill you with his power. So let's pray that right now. Lord, we pray that as a result of this shaking, God, would you fill us with the glory of God? Fill us with your power. Holy Spirit, we invite you to anoint us with power to serve you, with boldness and with courage and with strength. I pray for every person who is afraid. I pray for every person, God, who is weary and tired. Every person who feels like their entire life is shaking right now. God, fill their house with glory. Fill their house with courage. Fill their house with your presence and know that peace is in your presence. Let the Prince of Peace, let the power of God flow into everyone right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I hope you have enjoyed. I hope you have benefited. I hope you've been blessed by this first message in this series from the book of Hebrews. We'll pick it up next week in Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter. We're going to talk about the power of faith to make us better beginning next week. Before we give the blessing, let me just encourage you to, if you're watching this message, share it online with other people, especially if you know somebody who needs encouragement. Share it with them, encourage them to watch it. And we hope you'll join us Tuesday night, 6:45 for our prayer service. Make sure you're part of a group. And let's continue to take care of each other, to pray for each other, to reach out and meet needs around us. And we're going to find that God's going to get the glory through all of this. Amen. So thank you for joining us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Go with God. We love you very much.